Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Sahara Force India podcast.
Welcome to the Sahara Force India podcast, taking you behind the scenes here at the Chinese Grand Prix. In this episode, we find out what being part of the Force India team means to number one mechanics Andy McLaren and Will Vickery.
Those highs, you can't explain them, you're almost lost for words. You know, Force India, we all work as a team, both cars count.
We get to grips with in-car refreshment.
It depends on the race. If it happens in Singapore, you're in trouble. If it happens, in some European race where it's not so hot, it's not too bad.
And Otmar Szafnauer gives us his post-race analysis.
But, when circumstances change in the race with either safety cars or shunts or whatever, then for sure you have to think on your feet and change.
First, let's hear from the drivers.
The lowdown.
Checo, this is for the Force India podcast. How do you drink during a race when you're in the car?
We have a tube and we basically suck the tube and drink through it.
And what's in there? Is it water? Is it something special?
We have some carbohydrates there with different mixes that our trainers does, and it's very hot. Obviously, by lap 3-4, it becomes really hot. It's not like you're drinking a very cold water or something like that.
Does it ever run out?
Sometimes when you drink more than you have, obviously it runs out.
And what are the toughest races for that?
I think Singapore, Malaysia are very tough. And Hungary is very tough as well, very demanding physically. So those are the hottest ones.
Can you tell us how you drink during the races?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Well, I just, you drink, you have a straw, and then you suck.
Okay, so it's not a pump, you don't push a button, you can just do it yourself?
Yep, a bit of DIY.
is the straw always there, or do you have to find it in the helmet?
It depends. I don't like to keep it in my mouth non-stop. I think other drivers do, but I push it out, and then when I want, I fiddle it in somehow and have a sip.
Have you ever run out of water during a race?
Yes, that happened. It also happens sometimes, the bottle, it fails, or the tube goes off or something and you don't have the drink available. That happened to me as well. It depends on the race. If it happens in Singapore, you're in trouble. If it happens, in some European race where it's not so hot, it's not too bad.
So if it happens in Singapore, do you have to, take it steady and sort of slow down and conserve your energy?
No, you can't take it steady. You have to push on, you're racing, so there's no taking it easy, but are we still talking about the drinks bottle, or is this off the... No, you just have to, I don't know. I don't drink usually that much, so even in Singapore, I still can manage with what I have.
The lowdown.
We're here with Andy McLaren and Will Vickery, the number one mechanics on both of the cars for the Sahara Force India team. Andy, if we start with you, what are your main responsibilities over the course of a weekend?
Starting at the beginning of the weekend, I'm responsible for making sure that Checo's car is built to the correct specification and on time with all the correct bits. And
Well, are you the man that waves him out of the garage in the practice sessions? How does that work?
Basically, I took my instructions from the engineer. I make sure that the car's ready and built, and and liaise with all the crews, about sort of 12 people that I have to liaise with and make sure that they're all done, from engineers on the side benches to the fuel guys to my race engineer, and also the mechanics, making sure that any changes that needed to be done have been done and completed. And we let the engineer know when the car's ready, and then from that point he looked for a gap on circuit and then instruct me when to fire up, and then I have to look down the pit lane and make sure that it's clear and that also all the guys have got the tyre blankets removed and that it's safe to release.
So Will, is the role a sort of middleman role between the engineer and the main mechanics?
It is really, yeah. I mean, the main priority for the number one mechanic is to make sure that once the engineer is happy that the car leaves the garage, that everyone is safe and away from the car and there's nothing still connected. And then obviously make sure you don't wave the car out into the pit lane in front of another car.
So when, for example, in Bahrain, your guys were a bit unfortunate and both had a front wing damage, if there's a problem with the front wing, something like that, do you have any responsibilities when it comes to the pit stop?
No, not during the race. We've all got our own roles. I mean, myself and Andy here are gunmen, so our priority is just to make sure that the wheel nut's gunned on and everything's safe to release.
And what do you do when you're back at the factory?
Our main priority back at the factory is we get a build spec as soon as we get there, and any new parts, drawings released to us. We chase up all the parts with design, and if there's any issues, we liaise with chief mechanic and stuff, make sure everything is fine for the car, make sure everything's there, all ready to go, and basically make sure the front end mechanic, rear end mechanic, and everyone is all happy with all the stuff before we leave, really.
Andy, what's the most stressful part of the job?
The builds are fairly hectic. There's quite a lot of changes, certainly with updates and parts like that. They have a lot of new parts onto the car, and making sure that all the new parts tally up with and all the old bits that have been removed, and making sure your car's built on time, mainly to the correct specification. And often parts can arrive quite late because obviously you're pushing to get all the new bits on the car, so they can arrive quite late onto at the circuit, and trying to get them all built on time. I think that waving it out the garage is the easy bit.
So when if a team brings a new front wing, people like me, we've got no idea what the difference is. Are you able to tell the difference between a new front wing that arrives, or are they specially labelled so you don't get them confused? How does it work?
We actually have a guy in charge of hydraulics and wings, he's pretty much on top of what's new and what's what. They're all individually numbered, so we get told which one to fit, and we fit that one. Sometimes you can see, it's if it's a massive update, it's visibly obvious that the wing has got different bits on it, but if it's just small tweaks here and there, sometimes, to be honest, we can't even tell the difference ourselves. It's just a little tweak on an aeroplane. We just make sure the right number's fitted on the right time.
What's the best part of the job from your point of view?
From my side, I'd say I've been doing this for 10 years now, and it's, you know, afforded me the luxury of being able to travel the world and see all aspects of different sort of cultures and all parts of the world. Inherently, I've been racing since I left school, so that's like 16, 17 years now I've been doing this, and I love racing and competing, and I think just the camaraderie within the team, and, you know, to put your car out there, which, you know, me and Will, it's our cars, we're responsible for it. So I think there's, you know, a great deal of pride to be able to build a car. And certainly when you get a good result, you know, it's a great sort of buzz. And it's a really good atmosphere. And yeah.
How much, Will, does the result affect you after a tough weekend like Bahrain, or a great weekend? What's the difference feel like?
It's amazing, really. I mean, when we have a good result and we're on a podium for a team, a midfield team as ourselves, a podium's a massive deal. It's almost like a win for us. And, you know, those highs, you can't explain them. You're almost lost for words. And it doesn't matter which car and which side of the garage it is. You know, Force India, we all work as a team. Both cars count. And it's just amazing feeling for everyone in the team if we have a good result. Obviously, on the negative side, if you have a bad result, it's exactly the same. If your car's finished well, but the other car's not finished or had a bad result, you sort of have mixed feelings. It's good and bad, but you still feel bad for the other side of the garage as well. It's a whole team atmosphere. It's great.
How long have you been involved in racing?
Probably about 18 years. I did 2-3 years Formula 3, and then about 15 years now in Formula 1, from testing to racing. About 12 years racing, so. Yeah, it's a long time. To be part of a big team, everyone here is really, you know, works well together. We all get on well outside of Formula 1 as well, so it's really good.
Otmar Szafnauer is the Chief Operating Officer of Sahara Force India, and I caught up with him after the race.
Down the track.
So Otmar, a race that started well, had a lot of promise after the opening lap, and then couldn't quite bring it all together in the end.
Yeah, I think... you know, having to pit under the safety car, and we lost some positions there, and then trying to make our way through the field again, we kind of used our tires up a little bit more than we would have liked. And then towards the end, we're in the points with Checo. Unfortunately, Nico had a penalty, which meant he was out of the points. But with Checo, we just kind of ran out of tire life at the end, and those with fresher tires were able to get us with a few laps to go.
How much, with these new tire rules, is it about thinking on your feet? How much does the pre-planned strategy go out the window?
Well, I mean, we ended up doing the amount of stops we wanted to do with Sergio, not so for Nico. But, you know, when circumstances change in the race with either safety cars or shunts or whatever, then for sure you have to think on your feet and change.
Another frustrating weekend, though, where the pace has been there and been evident to see, but it hasn't quite worked out. What are you hoping for Russia?
Well, we've got to we got to make some adjustments such that we take advantage of our pace, and we'll do that between now and Russia, and we need to start scoring points.
Join us next time for another Sahara Force India podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.